Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. And we'll be looking at verses 17 and 18 this morning. The title of the message this morning is, By Being Human, Jesus became our high priest. By being human, Jesus became our high priest. This morning we're going to consider several doctrines which are vital to our fundamental understanding of Christianity. And although we're not able to examine each doctrine to the fullest, it's my intention that we begin to see how these doctrines are weaved together and how Christ is at the center. The incarnation that God himself would become a man for our benefit. The call to the office of high priest and mediator. What qualified Jesus to obtain this office? And what was accomplished in this role? Why did Jesus have to go through the sufferings and endure them as a man? And sometimes we wonder why we go through sufferings. We wonder if we deserved it or maybe if and or what the purpose is. When Abel was small, he was probably 3 or 4 years old, maybe a little older. He was climbing some steps to the back of the house, the back porch. And what we didn't realize is that there was a nest of hornets, yellow jackets, underneath the steps, which he disturbed. And he was stung many, many times. I grabbed him, yanked him into the house, and I was swatting off the yellow jackets as fast as I could. And through his tears, he kept asking me, But why, Daddy? Why? And what he wanted to know was, why was he suffering? What had he done to deserve it? Sometimes we have answers, and other times we don't. And don't worry, I didn't give him a whole theological discussion as to why he was suffering at that moment. But sometimes we don't get the answers to why we suffer. But before us in our text this morning, the sufferings of Christ will be given, and these doctrines and God's sovereign will and design is what we're going to consider in our text, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, with your word before us, we ask for your help. Even now, God, would you help us to hear from you and to receive your word. And thereby would your Holy Spirit enable us to apply that word through obedience to our hearts and our lives. We ask for your help in the name of Jesus. Amen. So our text opens with a phrase which indicates here a summation of his arguments and a conclusion which should then be discernible. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers. To this point, the writer of Hebrews has been speaking of the superiority of Christ, Jesus as creator, as eternal, and then distinguishing between him and the angels, warning the reader against apostasy, which is to reject Jesus as Messiah and Savior. And especially here in chapter 2, he's now stressing the humanity of Christ, the necessity for his incarnation, the necessity of Jesus' suffering and death, his being made a little bit lower than what we call the humiliation of Christ, his incarnation being made a little lower than the angels and living as a man amongst his creation, enduring human sufferings, even death upon a cross. Jesus was also exalted for what he accomplished, that by his death, through God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. And he was crowned with glory and honor and exalted to the right hand of the Father. Indeed, he became the founder of our salvation. And he was perfected. Not in the sense that he was at fault or had faults or was imperfect, but he was perfected for the role that he would now take on, that of high priest. Perfected is in the timing sense of the word. Romans 5:6, for while we were still weak, yet at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus came into this world and fulfilled the law of God perfectly, accomplishing the will of God and obediently laying down his life to save his people. And all of this is in the perfect timing of God. All by divine design. All of it sovereignly ordained. We saw that earlier in chapter 2, verse 8. He left nothing outside his control. Furthermore, in verse 10, it was fitting that Jesus would do all of this through his suffering. And all of this, the sanctifier and the sanctified, are all of one source. It's all by design, from the same playbook, so to speak. The Trinitarian God had ordained the Father would send the Son so that the Son would accomplish the redemption of his people, and that the Father and Son would then send the Holy Spirit to dwell with his people, his children, joint heirs of the kingdom of God. This is what is encapsulated in that one word, therefore, a summation of his argumentation. Therefore, Jesus had to be made like his brothers. And yet in our text, he reinforces this conclusion by giving even more reason or justification and purpose for the necessity for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It's this next phrase I want to draw your attention to. It's true, Jesus had to be like his brothers, but the phrase doesn't end there. It expands our understanding in that he was made like his brothers in every respect. Just think about that. Jesus was like you in every respect, in every way. Except for one. He was sinless. We must affirm the sinless nature of Jesus and recognize that this text does not teach that Jesus was born in sin or committed any sins. Indeed, the writer of Hebrews explicitly states this just a little bit later in his writing in chapter 4, verse 15, where he says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect," there's that phrase again, "every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Our confession of faith also affirms this as well. In chapter 8, paragraph 2, on Christ the Mediator, it says, "The Son of God, the second person in the Holy Trinity, being very and eternal God," there's his divine nature, "the brightness of the Father's glory, of one substance and equal with him who made the world, who upholds and governs all things that he has made, did, when the fullness of time was complete, take upon him man's nature," there's the human nature, "with all the essential properties and common infirmities of it, yet without sin. Being conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the Holy Spirit coming down upon her and the power of the Most High overshadowing her, and so was made of a woman of the tribe of Judah, of the seed of Abraham and David, according to the scriptures, so that the two whole, perfect, and distinct natures were inseparably joined together in one person." One person, two natures, inseparably joined, without conversion. That means Jesus didn't change from God into a man. Without composition, which means Jesus isn't part God and part man, he's not composed, or confusion, which means he's not a mix. Which person is very God and very man? We would say, true God, true man, or fully God and fully man. Yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. It's important for us to understand the person of Christ. Jesus took to himself a human nature. He is the God-man, and he had to be in order to fill the office of priest and mediator between God and man. In the next paragraph of our confession, it says, "The Lord Jesus, in his human nature, thus united to the divine in the person of the Son, was sanctified and anointed with the Holy Spirit above measure, having in him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in whom it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, to the end that, being holy, harmless, undefiled, and full of grace and truth, he might thoroughly furnish to execute the office of mediator and surety." We'll see, this is the office of priesthood. "Which office he took not upon himself, but was thereto called by his Father, who also put all power and judgment in his hand and gave him commandment to execute the same." He was called, he was ordained, he was set apart for this office. Mediator, priesthood. The one who would go between man and God. And the Holy Spirit reveals this through the writing of Hebrews in chapter 7, verse 26. "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." And so Jesus was like us in every respect, which means he took to himself a human nature, but he did it in the initial way in which man was created, in which Adam was made without sin in Genesis 1 and 2. When God created everything he made, including man, he said it was good. It was very good. And so just as we were created in the image of God, we are made with a physical body and a soul. So too, Jesus had a physical body and a soul. And so he was completely human and completely sinless. And we'll see this again revealed in the sufferings that Christ endured in verse 18 in just a bit. And so his incarnation, being like us in every respect, was completely necessary so that, continuing in verse 17, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. The service of God, that office to which he was ordained, that is the high priest. It's Jesus who entered through the Holy of Holies and presented himself as the sacrifice. Perfect, unblemished Lamb of God. And now we get to two reasons given here in our text. First one is that he would become a merciful high priest. Hebrews 4:15, verses 15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus is merciful and compassionate because he understands us. He's experienced life as we do. In Psalm 78, the psalmist has been detailing the rebellious nature of man and how they had forgotten God. They had forgotten the marvelous works of God and broken covenant. We find here verses 37 to 39, listen as God's grace and mercy is revealed. It says, their heart, that is the people, was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he, and here's his motivation, yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity. That's the role of the priest, that atonement. And did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all his wrath. He remembered. Okay, not that God needs, that he forgot and he need to remind us, but that God reminds us that he knows us, that he's merciful.